You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
Running like a rare disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. You say Ashe? We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But I know if it wasn't, you persevered anyways, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you are. And that's the kind of brother and sisters that we need. Those who are diligent and committed to getting things done. Don't procrastinate. Make it happen. We love you. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for podcast, click on that, and then African Perspectives will probably be at the top. Click on that, and there will be previously recorded programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Immediately following this program on Monday and Wednesdays, the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Monday tonight at 6 p.m. from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad. And then after that is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Then Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. Tomorrow, Tuesday from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays from 8 to 10 as well, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know what time it is. That's right, it is. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it's not me. It is our dear sister, Sister POC, in her program, Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. And as I stated about WeBuyBlack.com, they're trying to put money together to create a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. That's right. We don't have one damn supermarket here in the metropolitan Atlanta area where over a million something people. 4 million people. Not one. Even those subdivisions and those cul-de-sacs and those gated communities that we're predominant in, nothing there either. You would think that some of those brothers and sisters would say, hey, let's get together, pull some resources together, and build a strip mall for goods and services that we need and employ some of our youth and our people outside. You would think that. It ain't happening. So We Buy Black. Also, too, if you cannot go online and you want to get the products right away, then you can go to the Greenbrier Mall located in the right off of Georgia 166, the Greenbrier Mall. And they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall and where you can pick up your laundry detergent, soaps, deodorants, and all the good things that We Buy Black presents and produces by us. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org, Brother Bamani Tahemba. Just recently returned from his trip to South Africa, to Johannesburg and to Cape Town, and is going to Ghana in a couple of weeks, December 24th through January 4th, 2020. The trip is only $3,700, and you can join in, too. Go to AfricaForAfricans.org or give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429. And also, too, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, the South African tour might be up. Facebook.com/Bomani. Videos, YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End here in Atlanta. Shrine of the Black Madonna. They have everything. And they're open Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7. And then on Sunday from 1 to 3. They got everything. They got furniture. They got clothing. They got the red, black, and green shoes. And they got shoes. They got Kwanzaa kits. Kwanzaa's coming up, brothers and sisters. They got candles. They got it all. And most importantly, they have books. If they don't have the book that you are looking for, believe me, they'll get it for you. They also have an African Holocaust Museum in the shrine. They have a class. They have a Know Thyself, African history class, Know Thyself. And Brother Olatunji is the instructor. Every Saturday, open, free, and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30. Know Thyself. But if you can't attend, but you like the information, then you can contact the shrine for their multimedia library. Brothers and sisters, now it is seven terabytes. That's, man, tremendous amount of information. Over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books, and much, much more. So check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Located in the West End, and of course, they'll have Kwanzaa. I'll be talking about their Kwanzaa presentations and as well as others around the city upcoming soon. Another bookstore we promote is the Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, located right near the kiosk of We Buy Black. The Meddu Bookstore is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 12 to 6. And they have books, postcards, greeting cards, all kinds of t-shirts, you name it. The number to call is 404-346-3263. If they don't have the book that you desire, believe me, they'll get it for you. Another bookstore we definitely promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, that is east of Atlanta, off of I-20. And Brother Gazemde Ajamu, my good friend, he has a Kwanzaa program on Ujima, the third day of Kwanzaa. I'm involved, and I appreciate the opportunity. The number to call is 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. Brothers and sisters, there is truly light in the Black Dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. We have our Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. The number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And check out Us Lifting Us, ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. And I'm just encouraged by the number of people who are talking about cooperatives. We need to. Yes, definitely, because that, to me, that's the way for us to go. That is. Sister Yabarudi has a program coming up this Tuesday, December 10th at 7 p.m. at the Akabin Institute, and online. It is online on Facebook. And this is the African Warriors Women Day, the gathering of Asafo sisters. The discussion is preparing a discussion on preparing for the battle in the war zone. Sister Yabaruti. You can contact her at yabaruti@yahoo.com. Or you can give a call at 404-753-7237. Akabin Institute. Akabin Institute. With Brother Yah, with Sister Yah Baruti and Brother Baba Baruti, doing an outstanding job of preparing our young men and our young women. They need financial help because they are totally independent. And so the Akabin Institute, make check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786. Akabin Institute.
This call is being recorded.
P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. And if you want to use Cash App or PayPal, that is available. They use the dollar sign, YAAMBARUTI, yeah, Baruti. And Sanjay Dash Aidi, I just got a letter from Sister Gabby and Aurelia in, from the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, and the outstanding work that she is doing. And believe me, we appreciate her for all her efforts. I want you to go to the website. Check it out. And if you feel in your heart that you want to do something, please do. No matter what it is or how big or how small, please check it out. Okay? And Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I .org. That is, of course, the correct pronunciation of Haiti, which is Haiti. You know, so just want to make sure you knew that. Sanjay Dash Haiti. So, Black Talk Radio Network Project, the Media Fund, the Black Talk Radio Network 2019 Media Fund. Go online to blacktalkradionetwork.com and right there they will have the Media Fund, Black Talk Radio Network. You can give on there is also a link to the fund, but you, right on the front page, there's a as you scroll down to the right, a donation button. Believe me, I'm honored to be on Black Talk Radio Network, the number one black podcast in the country, and we want to make it stronger, and that's the idea, and I know you do too. Okay, Renoco, I try to get this through when I do. You know, Baba Bahin, Brother Bomani Tahimba, but somehow I just keep missing it. But Dr. Renoka Rashidi, he's taking some brothers and sisters next month. It's January 21st to February 4th to Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. And the treat for those who are going to on the trip in Senegal, you will be able to visit the radiocarbonating laboratory established by a great honor historian and scholar, Dr. Cheikhanta Diop. It was at that laboratory that they proved that the ancient Kemetic people were African by developing the melanin dosage test. That's right. How much melanin was in the mummies. That's right. So check out Brother Renoco. Go to Renoco, drrenoco.com, and go on the website. It's only $3,800. I'm quite sure there's probably still some room for you if you choose to do so. He's back in the States. He just had a presentation this past weekend in Washington, D.C., along with Brother Anthony Browder and others. So Brother Renoco back in the States and ready to go again at the end of next month, January 21st through February 4th, 2020. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. December 8th. Any black human being able to survive the horrendous evil circumstances in which one inevitably finds oneself trapped must be some kind of a giant with great and particular abilities. With an armor as resistance as steel, yet made of purest gold. Sister Abby Lincoln. Nothing But a Man, starring Abby Lincoln and Ivan Dixon, is the story of Africans surviving this particular. Is a story Surviving This Reality. It details the intensity with which the fragile, frightened psychosis of the European mind works to break African spirits to the point of voluntary vanquishment. Those of us who survive this madness with our man or womanhood intact are the greatest threat to the survival of the European empire on planet Earth. When you watch this movie, you will easily understand why it was Malcolm's favorite movie. Affirm, I am a phenomenal African warrior scholar. I am a phenomenal African warrior scholar. Sometimes, brothers, it's just hard to get out. December 9th. Those who know themselves are not intimidated by those who claim cultural supremacy and hegemony. Nana Bofar, our ancestor, Dr. Asa Hilliard. Those seeking to be self-taught will be faced with a very difficult internal battle of defining academic success. We have been so well trained to think of measuring our intellect in terms of matriculating through a formal educational system that any other way tends to pale by comparison. Basically, this is a spiritual issue because those who choose to educate themselves know that what they are doing is more beneficial to African people. And it's only through communing with spirit that we can overcome this guilt over having received an African versus Eurocentric education. Meditate on your divine, righteous purpose and the corruptive nature of a compromised education until this is no longer an issue. Doing this while struggling to survive presents an even more trying challenge. You will struggle. You will be challenged. You will be forced to look deeply into your talents to find ways to counter the hostilities and satisfy your needs. You will have to deal with a world that fights against your African essence. Sadly, applying our energy in this way is to underrated among Africans in Western society. Yet it is a freedom unrivaled by any thing the Negro world has to offer. It will teach you who you are and what you are not. It will give you an unbelievable inner strength, that vital, unstoppable force that Europeans fear so intensely. Affirm, I know myself and I am not intimidated by those who fear my genius. Affirm, I know myself and I am not intimidated by those who fear my genius. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. This past weekend, right here in Atlanta, Georgia, they had a pageant at Tyler Perry Studios. In fact, I was coming home from that inn over there in that area. I stay west of the West End, and Tyler Perry Studios is right on a main street, which is Lee Street, which turns into Main Street in East Point. And sometimes I get off on the exit at Tyler Perry Studios, and then that's the way I go home. But it was all blocked off. It was all blocked off. And so they had the Miss Universe pageant. And what is deep is that the Miss Universe, you know, if you've been online and you've seen this sister, she is beautiful. Melanated sister with short hair. Short, close, curled hair. In fact, at this moment, Miss USA, Miss Teen USA, Miss America, along with Miss Universe, are melanated sisters. Are African sisters at one time. I don't think that's, I'm not saying that's a real, real big deal, you know, because, you know, one thing, the pageants, who they're run by. But Miss South Africa, Zobeni Tinzia, was crowned Miss Universe, and she bested 89 other contestants for the crown in this prestigious beauty pageant. First runner-up was Miss Puerto Rico, Madison Anderson, while the second runner-up was Mexico, Sophia Argon. South Africa's last Miss Universe crown was in 2017 when Demi Lai Niles Peters won the crown. I wonder what she looked like. I don't remember. But, hey, she. I think they stopped having Caucasians represent South Africa years ago. Because I know when I used to watch, you know, I didn't really watch it, but if I fell on it and it was a top 10, just to see what's in the top 10, and if Miss South Africa was in it, you know, she was Caucasian. She was, you know, like any other Caucasian, whether she was a Boer, British, or German, whatever the hell she was. South Africa thus has been in the top two in the past 3 years in a row. It won the crown in 2017. It was first runner-up last year, and of course it won the crown this year. So kudos to and the top 10 finalists, aside from the U.S., Colombia, Puerto Rico, South Africa, Peru, Iceland, France, Indonesia, Thailand, and Mexico. The list was trimmed down to five, and then the five was Mexico, Thailand, Colombia, Puerto Rico, and South Africa. All the judges on the panel were female, which included former Miss Universe winner from Colombia. So we give much love and much respect to those winners. Kwanzaa presentations, pre-Kwanzaa, we have a pre-Kwanzaa this Saturday, a pre-Kwanzaa celebration sponsored by ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, the Atlanta chapter, and WADU, World African Diasporan Union of the state of Georgia. And, of course, the Pittsburgh Neighborhood Residents and Team Leadership is going to be at the Pittman Park Recreational Center in the Pittsburgh community here in Atlanta. And the time of the program on this Saturday is 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. There will be drumming, dancing, poetry, honoring elders and family fellowship, children's activity, a pre-Kwanzaa celebration. Also on Sunday, December 15th, there will be a pre-Kwanzaa celebration sponsored by the Association for the Study of American Life and History. That is the organization started by Dr. Carter G. Woodson. It is going to be in East Point, First Millennial United Methodist Church, 2651 North Church Street in East Point. And it'll be celebrating the 144th birthday anniversary of the Honorable Dr. Carter G. Woodson, the founder of Negro History Week, later to be called American African and African History Month, as I call it. And so check it out. It is free and open to the public. You know, I tell you, one of the things that I have a bug up my butt about, and always will, because, you know, the fact of the matter is that we are a people who are constantly being manipulated and used. And when people say, don't blame Caucasians, don't blame white, no, stop it. That is the root cause of the problem. They have impacted us. They have imposed upon us these concepts and these ideas. And, of course, making you think, if you think outside of that, there's something wrong with you. So, dear brothers and sisters, I put the blame where it squarely belongs. But I also admit that us getting out of this madness is our responsibility. Yes, they put us in it, and they're trying their damnedest to keep us in it. But the responsibility is ours. And the only way to get up out of this is through knowledge. I always say, if you heard this program, that the European has a vice grip on our minds. And because of that vice grip on our minds, our behavior and how we view ourselves and how we view each other is detrimental to us. And it's the only way to break that vice grip. If you know that tool, once the grip is set, you cannot pull it apart. But there's a knob at the end of the handle. And turning that knob is acquiring knowledge of self. As you turn that knob, you infuse yourself with more knowledge of who you are and what your purpose is. And then suddenly, you break it. You break it, but it is not challenging Caucasians. It's not even getting down on them for who and what they are and what they've done. It is a challenge for us to come together to do the best that we can for each other. It's a call for us to develop collective unity, functional unity. It's a call for us to get our heads up out of our asses and do for self. To pool our resources is a call for us. I just read you the Enye Sesem, which is a for Baba Baruti putting this together. I love it. And each day I come on this radio program, I have 2 to 3 or more that are pointed, that are direct, that are outstanding. They're jewels. So, that being the case, saw a couple of things on France. And, you know, if you remember, France, when they had a mass shooting a few years ago, and everybody, when I say everybody, I don't mean Caucasians. When I say everybody, I mean us. And I truly don't really mean everybody, because it ain't everybody. But there was a number of us online who were putting the water paints of French colors, their flag, and sharing sympathy with France. And obviously, the problem for us is our lack of knowledge of our history and our culture and who we are. Because to me, if you understand France, then you would say, it's what they deserve. It's what they get. For France, let me read some about France. Let me go into this BS. Macron, who was making fun of Trump, which I loved, him and Trudeau and others, and even Boris Johnson from England, and make Trump cancel stuff and come back to the States. Because he's a joke. He's been a joke. He was a joke in his campaigning. He was a joke in the election. He's been a joke since he's been the president of this country. He's a narcissistic egomaniac. He's selfish, callous. I remember that time there was going to be a picture of leaders. And so he just, literally just pushed this guy out the way so he could be up front. In fact, a picture was taken, the only one, so he could stand out, at least my thinking, because that's how the picture looked to me, was his ass. Because he's the only one that had a red tie. He must have instructed everybody, I'm the only one going to be wearing a red tie. Don't you wear a red tie. If you got one, you better bring another one with you. I'm the only one that's going to wear a red tie. Man, Trump. Africa's problem is civilization. French president gets a deserving response from a son of Africa. Africa's problem is civilization. To hell with Macron. In an attempt to deny France and imperial powers' contribution to Africa's underdevelopment, France President Emmanuel Macron has accused Africa of having a civilization problem which has compounded the continent's development challenges. Yeah, right. As a response to an Ivorian journalist who wanted to know from the president of France contribution to the breaking down and rebuilding of the African continent, Macron opinion, with a family that has 7 to 8 children in Africa, invest billions, nothing will change. The challenge of Africa is civilization. And the Guinean psychologist Amadou Diano, a professor at the University in Conakry, answered him thus. Africans do not need your debauchery civilization, because your civilization, a man can sleep with a man, a woman can sleep with a woman, a single president can have 2 mistresses at a time, a woman can sleep with her dog, a child can insult his mother and father without problem, a child can imprison his parents. With your civilization, when parents are getting older, they are taken to a retirement home. And finally, with your civilization, a young man can live with a woman who is his mother's age or his grandmother without problem. Your case is a perfect illustration. Africans have no civilization lessons to receive from people like you. Africa is by far the richest continent in the world, with an enormous mineral wealth. What is delaying this continent is a large-scale pillage of its resources by former colonials, and France is in the lead. All the misery of Africa comes from the country that realizes its ambitions on the backs of Africans, with the complicity of those traitors who do not hesitate to sacrifice entire generations by delivering their countries to their former colonials. They entrust all the key sectors of their economy to France. In reality, they lead the political strategy, a vision desired by former settler. This contributes to driving their populations into misery and extreme poverty. This is a cause of coups and coup d'etats, civil wars, genocide, famines, with despots at the head of these countries that are kept empowered by France because it means and it meets all their requirements. France is nothing without Africa. The day the African countries turn their backs on France, this country will plunge into chaos. Look at it today. They've been in the news even while Macron was at the summit, at the NATO summit. France, because of how they're trying to restructure, there is chaos throughout the country. Good. France is nothing without Africa. The day the African countries turn their backs on France, this country will plunge into chaos. As long as African countries do not abandon this domination of the former colonial by taking charge of their own destiny, as Asian countries have done, it will be very difficult for them to get out of the abyss. The challenge for Africa is to get rid of France, because the latter is no solution to its underdevelopment. No, it is part of the problem. It is at the heart of the problem. It is the root of the problem. It is the root of the problem. Yeah, I tell you, it's a damn shame, because Africa could do so well for itself if it wasn't for that. I'll read another piece here, and I'm going to talk about the economy. Probably do that in the after, but I'm going to read this piece here. France, with the assistance of others, have assassinated 22 African presidents since 1963. For African leaders who boldly stood up to the unending imperialist tendencies of former colonizers, this has generally been met with death, and France has never been hesitant to eliminate presidents who pose a threat to their imperial plans. France has consistently contrived and been in collaboration with other Western powers to assassinate African presidents they deem a threat to their interests. These three African intelligence agencies, the External Documentation of Anti-Espionage Service, DGAC and DISE or whatever, have been very active in doing the dirty work that encompasses coups and assassinations. France's crimes in Africa have been made up of misinformation campaigns, controlling black-skinned governments, puppet presidents, and military propaganda. France has always ensured that former colonies remain under its tight hand. This explains the existence of the FAX franc, a colonial currency that keeps former colonies from fully attaining economic independence. I'll talk about the FAA franc in a minute. Presidents like Thomas Sankara, who denied being under France's influence, were eliminated from the planet, with France playing a big role in that ghastly assassination.
Here are some countries that France has assassinated the leaders. Some of the names I will not mention because they're kind of tough, so I'm not going to do that. I'll just mention the year and the country. In 1966, the Republic of Nigeria. In 1969, they eliminated the president of Somalia. In 1972, the president of the Republic of Zanzibar. In 1975, the president of the Republic of Madagascar. In 1975, the president of Chad, the Republic of Chad. In 1976, the president of Nigeria. In 1977, the president of the Congo, Brazzaville. In 1977, the president of the Republic of Ethiopia. In 1981, the president Anwar Sadat, the president of Egypt. In 1981, the president of the country of Liberia. In 1987, Thomas Sankara, the president of Burkina Faso. In 1989, Ahmed Abdullah, the president of Comoros. In 1989, the president of Liberia again, Samuel Doe. In 1992, the president of Algeria. In 1993, the president of Burundi. In 1994, the president of Burundi. In 1994, the president of Rwanda. And if you remember at that time, Rwanda and Burundi, through the efforts of outsiders, created a situation where they were at each other, the Hutus and the Tutsis. And of course, you've seen the movie Hotel Rwanda. And of course, today, look at the country of Rwanda. Look it up. It's one place I may want to visit. 1999, the president of Niger. 2001, the Republic of Congo in Kinshasa. 2009, the president of Guinea-Bissau. And of course, 2011, Muammar Gaddafi, the president of the Republic of Libya. All these things that they have done has had, I mean, serious adverse effects on Africa, Africa's leadership, more importantly, Africa's ability to do for itself. You know, when you have leadership that has been trained by the European, and these European, these Africans believe squarely. I've heard it. I've seen it. They believe in Britain, London. They go to London. They believe in France. They believe in European. They believe in the U.S. They don't believe in themselves. Got a caller. Good morning, caller 404. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Ocean?
Man, is this Wes?
Yes, sir. You're doing man, live in the teller.
Man, brother, how have you been? Man, you've been in hibernation. What's been happening?
I've been out here trying to do like the animals, man. Collect me some food for winter, man. That's what I've been doing, bro. Now I'm finna get in hibernation for sure.
Okay.
I'm finna get in hibernation for real now. But hey. Hey, you right on the money, man. I think I did email you that article you just read, man. I think I sent that to you a couple of months ago.
Probably.
Yes,
Yeah, I just got another one. Hey. I'm going to read basically is about the money that
yes, sir.
You know, that they use, you know.
And you forgot one more thing these Negroes went crazy over.
Remember that
damn hunchback Notre Dame church caught on fire?
Uh-huh.
These Negroes is all over Facebook, man, over that devil church, man.
I know. Well, hey, you know, anything European, there's a lot of, because of we've been so deeply indoctrinated, our response to what they have done, you know, we give more, you know, sympathy and more solemnness to those things than we do to our condition as African people when things have been done so wrong to us, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's...
And speaking of Gaddafi, man, not to cut you out, I got the email and the transcripts when Hillary and Obama and them, mostly Hillary and them, was talking to France how they was going to do Gaddafi, man. I'm going to try to find it and send it to you, man. They were talking about how they going to get his gold.
Yeah, they did all of that. They stole all of that.
Yes.
And look at look at Libya today. It's a damn mess. Here, Libya, mm-hmm. the Libyan people who love Muammar Gaddafi, the campaign worldwide was to make him a evil dictator, somebody who was squandering the wealth of the people, and people were in filth and squalor and so forth. You know, they had people, they showed video of people rioting in the streets. All of it a damn lie.
Yep.
To justify going into Libya to kill him. Why? Because Muammar Gaddafi was the president of the AU, and he wanted to unite Africa, much like what Kwame Nkrumah, Patrice Lumumba, and many others, and the good sister who's the former ambassador of the AU. She was on Elliot Nim's program last night. Beautiful program.
Yeah, that's
I wish
what
I could have called
about,
in.
Man. That's what I want to ask you about.
Sure.
Okay, and my man from Memphis, I forget the Jamaican dude.
Right, Marcus.
When he told her that she sound like the reincarnation from the whirlwind of Marcus Garvey.
Ashe.
Okay.
Ashe, you're right. We need to protect that sister. She needs to be protected. But more importantly, she needs to be heard consistently because there is no doubt about it. Any rational thinking person who is African-centered, who believes in Africa and Africa solving its own problems, Africans working together, that person will know the most important thing is for Africa to expel themselves of all that colonialism, expel themselves of all the despots, all the Negroes, telling everybody to get out, the Chinese, whoever else, the Indians, whoever else, and for Africa to come together to control its land and its resources. We have every right to do so. And Africans in America, the Africans here in America, who are some of the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet, we have a right and a duty ourselves to help liberate and build Africa. Only if we understood that we must go home.
I agree, brother. Because that's my plan, man. When she set everything up, she said the minimum donation would be $1,000. So I'm gonna try to save my $1,000.
Oh, brother, I'm gonna do that, man. Shoot.
Because I got a little technological skills. I go over there and do some electrical work, man. But I just don't like taking no shots, man, to go nowhere.
Let me say this to you. You may have to do that because you're coming from this environment to that environment. You may have to take a yellow fever. There might be some other ones. You definitely would take malaria pills until you get used to the environment. Hell, you can go over. I mean, one of the things that happened to Baba, and I read him in the NEA Sasim, Nana Barfor, Dr. A.C. Hilliard. He died. He died in Egypt. You know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But look here, man. I know a sister that went to Ghana, like in the summertime, and she took that shot, and man, she come back, she got all kind of problem, man. But she getting through it though, man.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope so. I know that when I went in April, in fact, it was an ordeal because I was pushing at the time, man. I didn't have the yellow fever. I don't have to get it ever again because of my age, because I've had it three times, every 10 years, and so there was no yellow fever in the state of Georgia supposedly. But the one sister whose clinic I went to here in Atlanta in North Decatur, off of North Decatur, at that clinic, it's a travel clinic, and I called the CDC, I called everybody, and nothing to be found.
You want to mess with the CDC, man?
I want reference. I want referrals. I'm not saying I'm going to the CDC. I want refer. I'm trying to get a shot that I gotta have.
You know what you need to do? Go to Morehouse Doctors, man. Yeah. Morehouse School of Medicine.
Well, let me say this.
Yes, sir.
Brother West, this is about the travel clinic. These are the things that you need.
Yeah.
See? So I'm saying to you,
they got the shots though.
Yeah. Well,
they got the shots.
Let me say this. I'm not saying that they don't or not. Because I don't know, but I do know.
Yeah.
In my history of trying to travel, especially if you go out of the country, if you go to a Caribbean or if you go to Africa, not so much, of course, everywhere else. But anyway, so I wound up making an appointment with South Carolina. There was a clinic in South Carolina. It was going to cost me a hell of a lot more, of course, travel and time and everything like that. But thank God the sister called me and she said, if you could be here that Friday at this time, you know, we'll have a shot for you. And man, I was there, and it was about $150 less. And of course, didn't have to have that time, and I had to have it. And so, you know, there it is. Because believe me, if you are in Africa and you are not observant, and you could fool around and eat something, drink something, and next thing you know, you will be very sick. So it does happen. So that's what I'm saying to our brothers and sisters. You know, be careful. You know,
well, like the sister that called you before that moved over there. I forget her name that moved over there.
In Botswana.
She said, but it's all about what you eat. If you eat a whole bunch of garlic, mosquitoes won't bite you, man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something else, man. What I found a miracle, man, I had high blood pressure, right?
Okay.
Because they raised the number. And this doctor from Morehouse, me and him have our debates all the time. He put me on this doggone blood pressure medicine, man. Then I found out. That blood pressure medicine was messing people up.
Uh-huh.
So a friend of mine that's a vegan, he told me what to eat because I was watching him. He eat watermelon through the summer, man. Every day he had a big, full watermelon. So I follow his lead, and I started eating watermelon with seeds and blackberries and cherries with seeds and just swallow the seeds, and it digested my body. And a long story short, my blood pressure got back to normal, man. My doctor couldn't believe that my blood pressure went from 180 on the top number to 135 in like 2 months. In 2 months, 3 months, then he finally took me off the blood pressure medicine, man.
Okay.
The most high got any question, problem we got, especially with health, bro, it's out there in your yard more than likely, man. All them dandelions that grew up here. I started wondering, it was pissing me off by cutting them down. And I said, well, there's something got to be good about these dandelions. So I start eating the dandelion greens.
Yep, dandelion greens. Bro. Yep. All right.
Yes, sir.
Right on. Right on, yeah. Wes. I mean, yay. Right on.
I mean, the creator going to provide. Because number one, we only use 30% of our ability, man. With our melanin, black people riding on 30%.
Mm-hmm.
If you start tapping into your melanin, bro, and just going on with the universe, putting the questions and letting the answers come to you what to do, bruh, then we can have this collective consciousness, man. Well, we can damn near, we can control the weather. We want to, man.
Well, right? Let me just say this. I mean, if all of us put our mental, you know, in meditation and so forth, I would love for us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
One moment to do that, to get out of here. All the meditation,
yes,
all the energy, all of that. Into saying,
yes,
we are going to release ourselves from European dominance and European control. We're going to take back our land and our resources. We're going to love one another, support one another.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to work to make the continent of Africa what it must be and should be and will be. I would love to happen. And also, too.
I challenge some Africans that know that Bodun. I say, well, y'all always use that Bodun against each other. Okay, I'm going to learn the Bodun to go against our real enemy. Because our soldiers, we need each other. I talked to some Africans, man, I was on the job, one for the Congo and one for Sierra Leone, man. You know what they called me? Ogun, man. That's what they told me, man.
They say Ogun. Ogun is a Orisha. That's a god.
That's what they called me, man.
Ogun, yeah.
That's what they called me, man.
Okay, you Ogun.
They
stopped
calling me Ogun, man. I had to look and see what that was, man.
Yeah, that's one of the Orishas. That's one of the gods. Ogun, Shun, Shango, all of, yeah.
Man, that made me feel good, man. Made
I hear
me
you.
Study more.
I hear you. Always. Yep. I'm about to take a break, Wes.
Yes, sir. One more thing, man.
Sure.
One more thing. I see this news conference with Macron, Putin, and that lady Theresa May sitting at a table. They discussing some. They up to some devil, man, as usual. I just saw the new press conference, man.
What, when? Just recently?
Like
what, just recently?
Yeah, man, just okay. recently. In yeah. the middle of
well,
the,
you know, what's happening with just, what's happening in France, you know, they have rioting in the streets. Macron is proposing some new thing that the people of France know that it will affect them adversely down the road, particularly as their pensions are concerned and wages and livable conditions and so forth. And as I'm reading this, I'm saying, oh, I got it. They'll take more of Africa's resources, because if it wasn't for Africa's resources, what you see happening in France right now would have been happening years ago, even triple. So I'm saying, yes, hell sir. With France. Let him fall.
I'll tell you something more before you take a break. Now, look up Operation Crimson Mist. All right, this was the PSYOP plan that they used in Rwanda. They had the Hutus and Tutsis fighting each other. Operation Crimson Mist. Check okay. it out, bro.
All right, my brother.
Send it to me,
Wes. Send it to me. It's good to hear your voice again. I haven't heard you in quite some time, man. It's good to know that you're doing well, my brother. Continue to listen. Continue to call.
Stronger and blacker than ever, man.
Right on.
Stronger and blacker than ever. Every day.
That's right. Stay that way. All right, my brother. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to go on this break. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, be more discussion. You stay with us and give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, this program is African Perspectives every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., followed by the Black People Matrix on Monday and Wednesdays from 1 to 3. The Black People Matrix, Monday and Wednesday from 1 to 3. This evening, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Wahad from 6 to 8. And then from 8 to 9, Let's Buy Black 365, followed by Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. On Fridays, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Fridays. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., and once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then every Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warm Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Getting back to the conversation that we're having today, dealing with France. You know, as I said earlier, I remember when that situation happened and that shooting, the man shooting at the theater, something to the effect, a concert, whatever it was. And there was this, all this outpouring, and even from brothers and sisters, you know, not understanding the dynamic, not understanding who France is, not understanding who Europeans are, and that we gain all this sympathy for them and put their watercolor flag in the background, or, you know, and all this stuff. And yet France has been the number one, one of the number, all of them are, they all are. But France in particular, because a lot of money, that currency is still tied to France. Let's see, we have a caller 646. Caller 646.
Oh, see, what's poppin', brother?
How you doing, Jay?
Man, I'm doing good. I heard the Master Research.
That's right, brother. Brother West is on the line with us. The Master Researcher. Well, you know what? I was too. I was too. I was pleasantly surprised because I haven't heard from Brother West in months. Really, and so it was great to hear from him. Know he's doing well, and you know, continue with the research. Brother West, are you still there?
Yes, sir. What's up, my brother Jay?
Oh, brother, research. Now, what we need on the line is Brother Ralph. Where is the great African brother? Take no nonsense. Brother Ralph.
And you're right about that. No nonsense. That's right.
Brother Ralph. Hey, listen.
And you know, the main man from England, Brother Paul.
Oh, yeah, Brother
Paul. When you talk about the French and the France, it's amazing how they're able to have so much control over Africa.
It is.
Have so much of a say so over Africa. And they really don't have any type of serious trade with Africa other than the gun. That they got the gun over them. That's all they got over the African people is the gun. The ability and the willingness to go in there and wage war. And to think that there's other countries that they can't even do that to. That just goes to show you fundamentally how at some point in time we have to take the mild way of thinking, that we have to be willing to die
for
our liberation.
One of the things that, reason why I pointed out the 22 people that heads of state that France was instrumental in assassinating is the fact that that's one of our problems.
We don't need a charismatic leader. We don't need one individual so-called leader. No, we need a charismatic program. Just as Dr. Clark said, you know, if we have a spokesperson, that's the spokesperson. There might be others. You kill him or her, we just flip the page and continue on. Because we don't have a charismatic leader, we have a charismatic program. And that program is all about African coming into its own, Africa controlling its resources and its land, Africa managing its people, Africa building for the future, whatever that need is, whether it's railroads, highways, ports, schools, hospitals, you name it, subdivision, whatever is necessary, we do it. We don't have to rely on the Chinese. We don't have to rely on anybody outside of us. We could do it ourselves. And particularly, we have really all that we need at this very moment. And then once we begin to do that, then we'll hit up all these countries who have played us for centuries for the reparations, because not to go after these countries for the reparations for our repair does a dishonor and disservice to our ancestors.
No question.
Why don't you guys hold on for me so I can read this particular piece on the economy of France dealing with Africa, and we'll be right back, okay? Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah. All right.
All right. French colonialism lives on in Africa. The CFA franc is a monetary union that subjugates African states to France's economic interests. The CFA franc, these two words probably do not mean much to most readers, but they encapsulate one of the world's most enduring and little-known economic experiments. It is simply possible, in the simplest possible terms, the CFA franc is a currency used by 14 countries of Western and Central Africa, all of which are former colonial colonizers from the French colonizing. Hence the name franc, a reference to the currency formerly used in the colonies. The French franc, indeed, as we will see, the name is more than just a semantic legacy. France still plays a considerable role in the management of this African currency. But to avoid getting ahead of ourselves, let's start by laying out the basics. When we talk of the CFA franc, we are in fact talking of two monetary unions, the Central African Economic and Monetary Community, the CEMAC, which includes Cameroon, Gabon, Chad, Equatorial Guinea, the Central African Republics, and the Republic of the Congo, and the West Economic Monetary Union, the WAEMU, which comprises of Benin, Burkina Faso, Cote d'Ivoire, Guinea-Bissau, Mali, Niger, Senegal, and Togo. These two monetary unions are used distinct CFA francs, but which share the same acronym for the CME franc, and the FA stands for, and the CFA stands for Financial Cooperation in Central Africa, while for the WAEMAU franc, it stands for African Financial Community. However, these two CFA francs work in exactly the same manner and are pegged to the euro with the same parity. Together with the 15th state, the Comoros, which use a different franc, the Cameroonian franc, but which again is subject to the same rules as the others two, they form the so-called franc zone. Overall, more than 162 million people use these two currencies. For a long time, the CFA franc has been a non-issue in public debate, even in France or in Africa. This, however, is changing. In recent years, it has been at the center of an increasingly heated debate in the Francophone world, helped in part by books like The Invisible Army of Franco-African Imperialism, A History of the CFA Franc by French journalist Fanny Perdue and the Congolese economist Ndougou Samba Sele. As they put it, for a long time, much effort has been put into keeping the topic of the CFF franc and the issues that surround it shielded from the public debate in France as well as in Africa. Being poorly informed on the topic, citizens lack the tools to question the system. However, in recent years, the CFA franc has ceased to be a matter of debate solely by experts and is today the subject of articles, events, television shows, and conferences on the continent and in France. On the one hand, the French government claims that the CFA franc is a factor of economic integration and monetary and financial stability. On the other hand, the opponents of the currency, which include many African economists and intellectuals, argue that the CFA franc represents a form of monetary captivity, monetary enslavement, which hinders the development of African economies and keeps them subservient to France. In order to make sense of this debate, and before we move on to analysis and the actual mechanisms of the CFA system, we need to start from the origins of this continuous currency. A history of violence and oppression. The CFA franc, which originally meant franc of the French colonies of Africa, was created in 1945 when it became the official currency of the French colonies in Africa, which until then had used the French franc, officially granting the colonies their own their own currency was a reward for the divisive role they played in the Second World War. In fact, there's, you know, decisive, not divisive, excuse me, rewarded for the decisive role they played in the Second World War. In fact, as Pejiu and Sele write, far from marking the end of the colonial pact, the birth of the CFA franc favored the restoration of a very advantageous commercial relationships for France. Indeed, despite the rhetoric about granting greater autonomy to the so-called colonies, the CFA franc was essentially a French creature issued and controlled by the French missionaries of finance. This meant that France could set the external value of new currency, its exchange rate, vis-a-vis the French franc, according to its own needs, which is exactly what the colonial power proceeded to do by imposing a highly overvalued exchange rate on the African countries. The aim was twofold: to make France exports cheaper, thus encouraging the African countries to increase their imports from metropolitan France, that is, France located in Europe, as they distinguished from its colonies and protectorates, and to make the colonial exports more expensive on the world markets, thus forcing the colonies to turn to the metropolis to get rid of these excessive production. France, having been severely weakened by the war, therefore benefited both in terms of exports and imports, allowing it to regain its market share and to secure the supply of much needed raw materials. However, the most obvious benefit for France was the fact that the CFA franc allowed it to continue purchasing resources for free, since it effectively issued and controlled the colony's currency, just like it did when they were used by the French franc. In short, they noted, contrary to French colonial propaganda, the aim of the FAA franc remained that of ensuring France's economic control of the conquered territories and facilitating the drainage of their wealth toward the metropolis. We set France apart from all other financial colonial powers in Africa is the fact that its monetary empire survived the decolonization process, which began in the 50s. What sets France apart from all the other former colonial powers in Africa is the fact that its monetary empire survived the decolonization process of the 1950s. It should be noted, however, that France was no exception in this regard. At the time, it was common practice among colonial powers, so-called colonial powers, to impose forms of monetary surveillance on their respective colonies. What sets France apart from all the other former so-called powers in Africa, such as Great Britain, Belgium, Spain, and Portugal, is the fact that France's monetary empire survived the decolonization process, which began in 1950. So while most African countries, upon becoming independent, adopted national currency, France managed to corral most of its former colonies, except for Morocco, Tunisia, and Algeria, into maintaining the FAA franc. It did so by resorting to all the pressure tools at its disposal: diplomacy, corruption, economic instability, even outright violence, and of course, as we read earlier, assassinations. To uphold the FA franc, Saleh writes, France has never hesitated to jettison heads of state tempted to withdraw from the system. Most were removed from office or killed in favor of more complicit leaders who clinged to the power come hell or high water. The first state was to force the colonies to sign a long list of so-called cooperation agreements before granting them their independence. Under these agreements, the new states were forced to entrust the management of virtually all key sectors of their administration to the French state, including their currency, by pledging to maintain within the monetary union of the franc zone. Pierre Vallon, a French communist MP, noted at the time that in the economic, monetary, and financial fields, these agreements rendered to limit in practice and sovereignty granted to the former by law, to the former enslaved by law. To understand why African states accepted such heavy limitations to their newly won sovereignty, one must grasp the extent of their psychological subjugation to France and their fear of wading into open waters stemming from decades of colonial tutelage. They were, after all, agricultural and extremely underdeveloped economies. However, it wasn't long before the first rebellions against the FAA franc started breaking out. From the 1960s to the 1980s, various countries tried to abandon the FAA system, but very few actually could succeed. France did everything to discourage these states they intended to leave the FAA: intimidation, destabilization campaigns, and even assassinations and coup d'etats marked this period, testifying to the permanence and unequal power relationships on which the relationship between France and its partners, quote, partners in Africa, was based, and is still based that way today. Let me repeat, and it is still based that way today. When Guinea, after its repeated calls for reform of the FAA system, fell on deaf ears, launched its own national currency in the 1960s, France responded by secretly printing huge quantities of the new currency before pouring them into the country, causing inflation to skyrocket and transforming the country into an economic basket case. Similarly, when Mali left the franc zone in 1962, France pressured neighboring nations to limit trade with the country, contributing to a sharp depreciation of the new currency and compelling Mali eventually to rejoin the FAA system. France is also believed to have played a role in the murder of at least two African progressive heads of state that were planning to launch a national currency and to take their countries out of the FA system: the brother in Togo in 1963, and of course, the honorable to me, Thomas Sankara of Guinea-Bissau in 1987. The long trail of violence and repression helped us understand how France became the only country in the world to have succeeded in an extraordinary feat of calculating its currency and circulating its currency, and only its currency, in politically free countries, as the Cameroonian economist Joseph stated, observed in 1980. It's also called into question the claim that the African states adhere voluntarily. They adhere voluntarily, yeah, right. When there's a gun at your throat, it's just like in the Jim Jones say, you know, that's not suicide. That was mass murder. They had guns to those people's heads to make them drink that poison. That's murder. The diabolical mechanisms of the CFA franc. With this necessary premise out of the way, we can now move on to an analysis of the diabolical mechanisms that are underlines of the CFA franc. Nowadays, Paris claims that the CFA franc has become a fully fledged African currency managed by Africans themselves. in the late 1970s in a process that took the name of Africanization of the franc zone, the headquarters of the central banks of two monetary unions, the BEAC, the Bank of Central African States, and the WAEMU, the Currency Issuing Authority, and the BCEAO, the Central Bank of West African States. The currency issuing authorities were transferred to African continent. Furthermore, the number of French representatives sitting on the boards of these two banks were cut back. However, as the authors note, apart from this cosmetic changes, the mechanisms at the heart of the system has barely changed since the colonial era. Let me repeat, the mechanisms at the heart of this system has barely changed since the colonial era. Today, it rests on the so-called four fundamental principles of the franc zone, which continues to grant France almost complete control over the FA system. And even though France no longer possesses the franc, indeed, upon adopting the euro, France succeeded in ensuring that the management of the FA system remained within its exclusive remit. With the European Union and the other member states having little or no say in the matter, the result is that the spirit and the function of the device on which this colonial creation rests remain the same as it was when it was recreated in 1945. The four principal questions are the fixed exchange rate, the anchoring of the FAA francs first to France franc and now to the euro, the free movement of capital between the African countries and France, the free convertibility of the FA francs into euros, but not into other currencies, or even between two FAA francs, which means that every foreign payment made in FAA francs must first be converted into euros through the Paris exchange markets. The centralization of foreign currency exchange reservoirs, the benefits that France occurs from these four principles underlying the FA system are innumerable, more than simply a currency. FAA franc allows France to manage its economic, monetary, financial, and political relationships with some of its former so-called colonies according to a logic function in its interests. For example, by virtue of its presence within the institutions of the franc zone, France holds a de facto vote. They hold a de facto vote. They in control. They hold a de facto vote on the boards of two of the central banks. Paris still has the power to determine the external value exchange rate of the francs without even having to inform the African countries in advance, as France did in 1994 when it devalued the CFA francs by 50%, and then again in 1999 when it adopted the euro. Moreover, thanks to the free movement of capital, France companies can privatize the profits made in Africa by repatriating them to France rather than to investing them locally. The real keynote of the FAA system is represented by the centralization of foreign exchange reserves. This essentially means that the central banks of the franc zone must deposit a portion of their foreign exchange reserves in France in a special account at the French Treasury, known as the operating account. Initially, they were required to deposit almost all their foreign reserves. Nowadays, they're only required to deposit 50% and 60% of their total reserves. These operating accounts are in denominations in euros. They are regularly credited and debited based on the international payments of the African countries. The underlying mechanism of the system is relatively simple. If the Ivorian economy exports cocoa to France for a value of $4 million, this sum is credited to the operation accounts of that account. On the other hand, if the country imports $400 million worth of equipment from the euro area, the operating account is debited for the same amount. Theoretically, this is a quid pro quo. And you've heard that word. This is a quid pro quo for the guarantee a convertibility offered by France to the countries of the franc zone. This agreement stipulates that in the event of a shortage of foreign reserves, the French Treasury is required to grant in advance to the central banks of the franc zone to avoid a devaluation of the FAA francs. But this guarantee exists only on paper. Paris has introduced strict rules, including a series of automatic mechanisms that are triggered in the event of scarcity of reserves, that makes it highly unlikely for a French foreign exchange situation to rise. Indeed, they know that it is not really France that guarantees the convertibility of the francs. Rather, it is the reserves of a large exporting country, such as the Cote d'Ivoire and Cameroon, that compensate for the scarcity of reserves in countries such as Central African Republic and Togo, which have fewer resources. Theoretically, the African countries could dispense with the guarantee altogether. This is a testified by the fact that the operating account of the central banks in the franc zone has consistently registered a positive balance since the birth of the system, except for a brief period in the late 1980s and 90s. But the real exorbitant privilege that francs derives from operating account in that, though it can continue to pay its importers from the franc zone, which include a wide range of agricultural, forest mining, and energy resources, including in uranium and other critical imports for the French economy, it is its own currency. First the franc, now the euro, without having to go through other currencies and thus without depleting its own foreign reserves. To give an example, if France imports, say, 1 million worth of cotton from Burkina Faso, it merely has to credit the equivalent in euros to that operating account. And what about the alleged benefits that the FAA system brings to the African states? According to its defenders, the FAA franc has promoted the economic development of many states, facilitating the region's economic integration and creating an environment of microeconomic stability. In reality, the FAA system inflicts four important handicaps on the members. First, two handicaps are obvious: the fixed exchange rate and the anchoring of the franc to the euro. As is well known, a country that pegs its currency to another currency cannot pursue an autonomous monetary policy. Bam, there it is. It's not independent. It's theirs, not yours. And the WAEMU and the CEMAC, two currency unions mainly composed of poor countries, do de facto subordinate to the monetary policies of another country's currency union, the euro, which comprise highly developed countries with total different priorities and needs. The consequence of this is well explained by a Nobel Prize winner, Robert Mundell, in 1997. If a small country unilaterally fixes its currency to a larger neighbor, in effect transfers policy sovereignty to the larger neighbor. The fixing country losses sovereignty because it no longer controls its own monetary destiny. The larger country gains sovereignty because it manages a larger currency and has gained more clout in the international monetary system. Moreover, as countries of the Eurozone know all too well, the fixed exchange rates are meant that the 15 member countries of the franc zone, taken individually, are deprived of the possibility of using the exchange rate to soften the effects of economic shocks or to import the price competitiveness of local products. And this is a continent where shocks are every kind: political, coup d'etat, social tensions, climate, rainforest variation, droughts, floods, and economic volatility, the price of primary products, rates on foreign debt, and capital flows are commonplace. Thus, to deal with the aftershocks and advising, the countries of the franc zone have only one option: in the absence of fiscal transfers, internal devaluation, that is, an adjustment of internal prices that passes through the reduction of labor income and public spending, tax increases, and the decline of economic activity. A cursory glance at the IMF statistics confirm the fixed exchange rate has proven to be a serious bad choice for African countries, a serious bad choice. Since 2000, the countries of sub-Saharan Africa operating in a fixed rate of exchange system have experienced economic growth between 1% or 2%. That's not much. Below that of the countries with a fixable rate. This gap is due in particularly to the low growth of the member countries. I'm going to stop here because I'm just tired of this. The bottom line is, if we don't control everything that happens for African people, then we're going to be in a serious quandary. We're going to be in a quagmire forever. My contention, just as the sister said last night's program, AJ, did you listen to last night's program?
Yeah, I heard some of it.
Yeah.
Basically, what she was saying is we're going to have to stand up and take control.
She's saying what I've been saying, isn't she?
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is these people are not going to give us anything.
Right, and they're not. They're not.
They're not going to change the way things are set up and put in place and give up their resources.
Why would they do so? Why would they do so? What advantage would it be for them to do that?
Don't have none.
Exactly.
You got to make them do it.
And see, you got to
be at the point, like I said, you got to be at the point to be ready to die. If you're not at the point and ready to die over reclaiming your land, then you're wasting time. You're just playing games. And you're lying to yourself. Because they're never going to give you back the land. You got to fight for it. You got to do what you got to do.
See, my contention is, with a united front of Africa, all the countries buying in to the develop of a one Africa. This is what the sister was saying. With a central government, whatever traditions or cultural nuances that various groups of people have, various nations of people, never use the word tribes, various nations of people have, there will be respect for that. But the bottom line is, that's not what's most important, because what's most important is being collective, being one Africa. Being one Africa. Because in that way, the strength, and then and also in that way, the development by us can be attained. If we do not move in that direction, then the destabilization of Africa will continue, and then the depopulation of Africa will increase. And then, of course, everybody will have a piece of Africa for themselves to share with their home country. India, China, United States, Europe, you name it. And then Africans will be dispersed. Africans will be in these places, and they'll be getting dogged out like they're getting dogged out right now. And so
I don't think that's a concern, to be honest with you, for a lot of our people.
A lot of our people
are not concerned about that.
And see,
that's not an issue.
But see, but you know, the problem, of course, Jay, is that particularly here in America, and basically globally, because Europeans, they dominate information globally. So you're trained to think individually. You're trained to look after yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. You know, get yours. And if others didn't get theirs, it's their fault because it was there to get. But because, you know, you got yours and you all good.
I want to change the mindset of our people to understand that we must collectively come together in order to do certain things. That's the real issue. That's the point that we haven't been able to grasp. Once we able to grasp that, then I think things should change. But, I mean, you know, What is going to change over the next 20 to 30 years? Because the sister that Elliot had on last night, let's be honest, how many people are listening to her? How many people are really taking...
Well, let me say this. Let me say this, Jay. She has been consistently on Facebook. She has been consistently on email that I've received. So she is doing the best that she can to promote the position of Pan-Africanism, of a one Africa. And that's why I'm saying she needs to be protected and she needs to be heard.
Oh, no question.
See?
No question. You know, I mean, it has to, listen, it boils down to propaganda. It boils down to putting forward the narrative. And in order to put forward a narrative, you have to be, number one, consistent with the narrative. And what she's showing is consistency. And as long as she shows consistency, over time it will build. And that's all you can ask for.
Well,
and like you said, just protect her.
Right.
Because one person will get it, then the next person will get it, and eventually, over a period of time, they'll get it.
Well,
but
one of the things
that happens, you have to change the narrative.
Well, see, one of the things that are helping to strengthen it is us here at Time for an Awakening Media. You heard the commitments from brothers and sisters last night, if you listen. You know, Joe was talking about a commitment, of course. Brother Elliot and Brother Richard was talking about a commitment, you know. And my program has been about that from damn near day one. That's all I talk about is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. There's no other discussion. Everything else is moot, you know.
If you think there's something other than sovereignty for your people, then I really don't have nothing to say to you, because it's clear you don't understand what's going on and what games are being played on us and what's being done to us to even have any concrete and long-sustaining discussions about anything. Because the bottom line is these devils are not playing no games with you.
No.
They have an agenda, and their agenda is to be able to survive on the planet. You don't understand what you need to do to survive on the planet, but hey, the bottom line is everybody else does.
Let me say this.
Unfortunately, we as the people look for the West to be our savior and look for others to be the ones to carry us to the next level. You know what I mean? It's like in America. When you hear all these clowns talking about the Republican and the Democratic Party, like those two entities, one of them is going to save your black behind. All they doing is enslaving your black behind.
See,
and giving you crumbs.
CJ, I hope very soon that there is a cadre of leadership that calls African people into question. Either you're in or you're out. Those who are in understand that we are serious about Pan-Africanism. We're serious about being liberated. We're serious about controlling our resources, our wealth, our land, our families, our communities. We're serious about being independent and sovereign. If you're out, you stay with these Caucasians. You take your shots. But let me say this. Let me catch any of you traitoring, any of you spying or snitching or whatever the hell it is. Immediately death. We got to call this into question. It is the very survival of African people that is at stake. That's the problem. We don't understand that because we live our mundane lives. We go to work for somebody else usually. We get paid and we usually buy from others. And we go into debt. So we got to continue to work to pay those bills, to pay that car note, the insurance, to pay that house note, the insurance, to pay the furniture bill, the gas bill, the light bill. We're stuck right there. We got to do it. And the fact that we moved into a nice house went kind of like over our means, so we're doing two jobs. And sometimes the one job and the two jobs pay damn near less than one other job with that has a lot of experience and training or management. So we're just getting by. And because we're just getting by, we're not thinking about supporting one another, trusting one another, respecting one another, loving one another. We're not thinking about that. We're only thinking about myself. We have a religion, Christian religion, which is one of the main impediments for us to seeking independence and self-determination. That theology, Christian religion, and the religions, period, keep us in a mental state of anguish, of fear, of fear. And so that religion speaks to us individually. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm going to go to heaven. I believe that Jesus is God and he died on the cross. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy, all that bull. I believe.
Yeah, that belief stuff. You hear me?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Wes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, my man. That belief stuff. In the middle of belief, you got B-E-L-I-E. Okay? Anybody say they believe something, they're repeating a lie, man. All right? And see, people don't realize I don't need no man or no woman to talk to Creator for me, man. Because the way this shit works, it's thought, word, action. And once you think something, you speak it, it's going to happen, man. That's how you, whatever somebody thinks, that's what we're looking for. That's what they're going to find, man. Okay? We don't need this religion, man, at all, bro. It's thought, word, action.
Let me say this. Not to really counter you, but, you know, We, at this moment, at this stage of our lives, because of all the conflict, because of all of the confusion, kick all of that shit to the curb. Kick all of it to the curb. The only thing we should be talking about and doing physically, realistically, is embracing one another, respecting one another, trusting one another, pulling our resources for one another, educating our adults as well as, of course, our children. And to put ourselves in a position to manage, to run our lives, to run our land. It's not going to happen here. Let me read this to you. This is Martin R. Delaney.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Robinson Delaney, a brilliant brother at the time of the so-called Civil War. He said, it says race, but I say culture. Our culture is to be redeemed. It is a great and glorious work. And we are the instrumentalities by which it is to be done. But we must go from among our oppressors. It can never be done by staying among them.
That's right.
It's what I'm talking about.
Right there.
It's what the sister was talking about. We cannot we cannot reform this. There's no way in hell that this can be better for us collectively. It might be good for some of us. And those some of us, their attitude and their mindset is, I got mine. If you didn't get yours, it's your fault. Because I'm doing me and I love it. I love America. I love the Caucasian. I'm black. I ain't no African. I'm black. I got a nice car. I live in a nice apartment. In fact, I'm the first one in my neighborhood. I'm the only one on my job. I'm black. I ain't down with that superstitious stuff. I go to the big mega church and I tithe every Sunday. I'm saying.
I heard one guy called Elliot or something. They were talking about, he was talking to somebody at the barbershop. I think that was Elliot saying, the preacher said he needed $800 to pay the light bill. And this brother went ahead and gave the preacher a whole $800 to pay the light bill, man. I think Elliot must have said that.
Right, I heard that. I heard that.
Hey, yo, let me tell you how deep it is. I had a family member tell me that she'll pay her tithes before she buy her medicine.
Wow.
Yeah, because...
And when she told me that, I just walked away from it. I was going to reply, but I just walked away because for you to say I wish myself dying to give money to a pork chop chickeny and pimp. You get whatever you deserved in my book, because that pork chop chicken eating pimp preacher, if all truth be told, should never get a dime from you. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't give a pork chop chicken eating pimp preacher a dime. Imagine how you, in your right mind, could ever justify giving something to a Creflo Dollar,
right,
a T.D. Jakes,
right,
a Joe Rothstein, yeah, and the rest of them degenerates.
I tell you. Well, listen, gentlemen, I got to make way for Brother Franklin Jones. He's coming up next. I want to try my best to be out so he can make his connection so his program can flow. So I appreciate it, Brother Jay, always. Well, on Wednesday's program, I have an honor guest, an esteemed elder, and that is Dr. Mariba Kelsey, Baba Kelsey.
Hey, Oshie, yeah. I sent you that thing over in Wanda. Now check your emails, bro.
Okay, I sure will. Thanks a lot, Wes. We end this program, with all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure no hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Brothers and sisters, Bibi Fahoria. Bibi Fahoria means our victorious destiny. We will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace, family.